Today we're going to be looking at Psalm 42, so if you've got your Bibles open, that's awesome. If you're the kind of person that likes to take a lot of notes, this is the message for you. If not, maybe start taking some notes in your phone. We're going to be diving into this Psalm number 42. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Mike Lessard. I've been coming here to Sweet since, I don't know, 2006, something like that, and first came here when we left ministering in Smithville Church. We were youth ministering there, and I've been in different areas of youth ministry basically since 1990, which is a long time. But yeah, every once in a while, Wes says, "Mike, can you preach?" So here I am. And it's a real blessing and a real honor to be here today. So over the years, though, in youth ministry, I often get the question, you know, you get all kinds of questions in youth ministry. It's not like adult Bible study where everybody's all kind of serious. It's like, "I can't fall asleep. How do I fall asleep?" is a question you get a lot, right? Because everybody's stressed out and they're worried about their life. And I've always shared this tip, you know, if you can't fall asleep, if you're all stressed out, fighting with my pages here, if you're all stressed out and you're not sure how to fall asleep, the tip I've always given and the thing I've always done myself is to just open up the Psalms and just start reading. Sometimes I start at Psalm 80, sometimes I start at Psalm 20, sometimes I start at Psalm 136. There's no rhyme or reason. I just open it up and start reading, and then I read till I fall asleep. And people always ask, you know, how much should I read? Like, how, two chapters? Like, how much till I fall asleep? And I'm like, "I don't know. When do you stop eating?" They're like, "Well, when I'm full." I said, "Well, that's when you stop reading. You stop reading when you stop eating." If, you know, sometimes you open up the Word and something doesn't hit you right away and you're thinking, "Oh, I must be so far from God." Well, sometimes He just wants you to push a little bit. He wants you to press in a little bit. He wants you to try a little bit. He wants to see, are you hungering and thirsting, right? What was that first verse? "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God." Are you hungry and thirsty and panting after God? He wants to know that. So you open up the Psalms and you start reading, and the first one might just seem kind of foreign, and the second one might be, okay, that's cool. And then, you know, you might be four or five Psalms in, and all of a sudden, the Lord hits you right in the heart. And something gets to your spirit. And has anybody had that experience? All of a sudden, the heavens open. And all of a sudden, you get that word, that right now word from God. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. And you start hearing and feeding on the word of God. And all of a sudden, you go from just reading and your brain in a thousand places to where you're just tuned in, zeroed in on the word of God. And He speaks to you, right to your heart. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm challenging you right now. Open up your Psalms tonight and just start reading until this happens. Because if you're faithful to pursue God, He is faithful and just to feed those who pursue Him. So this is a Psalm that I turned to, or ended up at, I should say, many times in my teens. And, you know, sorting through all these problems and all the things that go through your mind. And so often I would land here. Sometimes I'd start at Psalm 20 and I'd get to Psalm 42 and all of a sudden it would hit me. You know, and other times I'd start at Psalm 36 because I love that one. And then I get to Psalm 42 and bam, God's hitting me right between the eyes with these words. And I thought, what a beautiful thing to share today. You know, and as I read through the Psalms, I noticed there's many, many different kinds of Psalms. You ever notice that? So many of them, you know, you often think of the praise Psalms, right? You know, thinking about the Lord and His goodness and His mercy is everlasting and He's over all the heavens and the earth. And we think of those Psalms, and many of the Psalms are these praise and worship Psalms. And some of them are thanksgiving Psalms, you know. Give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever. Praise His holy name, His love endures forever. It just repeats over and over and over the love of God and just thanking Him for who He is and how good He is. And then once in a while you read a Psalm and it's talking about the king of Israel. And those are sometimes a little strange because it's almost like a poem to, like, make the king look good and sound good. Like Psalm 20 and 21 If you're not sure what I'm talking about, read those later on. It talks about the king and, you know, how awesome is the king. The Lord has made him strong and made him great. It's kind of a strange thing to read, but that's in there. It's in the Psalms. So you read it and then you say, Lord, what are you saying? What's happening here? So there's praise and worship songs. There's thanksgiving psalms. There's psalms that are addressed to the king himself. And then there's some wisdom psalms. There's 5 or 10 of those, and they read almost like the book of Proverbs, and they're teaching wisdom, they're teaching understanding. They're not directed at worshiping God or thanking God. They're talking about when you live a godly life, this is what it looks like. And then you get to some of the psalms, like the one we read today. And it's sad. It's a lament. It's like all these happy psalms and all these joyful psalms, and it's all of a sudden like, the book drives into a ditch, and it's sad, and it's sorry, and you're wondering, what's happening here? What's going on? There's hurt, and there's anger, there's struggle, there's sadness, and you're wondering, what's going on here? I was just hearing about the glory of the Lord and his goodness, and next thing you know, it's, you know, why are you in despair, O my soul? Why are you disturbed within me? Angry, sad, lonely. What's going on here? If you look at the book of Psalms, there's 150 chapters. And somewhere between 50 and 60 of those chapters are psalms of lament. At least one third of the psalms are psalms of lament. We always think of it as a book of praise and a book of worship and a book of wonder of God. But here we are, a third of them are talking about lament. Why is that? Life is hard. Crazy things happen. You get hurt. You get a diagnosis. You lose a job. Things happen. You go from a moment where everything was and normal and good, and then all of a sudden something happens. And all the things that you counted on over here, all of a sudden that's shaken. All the things that were good and wonderful and you're praising God for, it gets shaken and you're like, oh no, now what? Now what? I've got this diagnosis. What does that mean? What's my life look like now? Oh no. And you start questioning and wondering and aching. A loss of a loved one. There's so many things that can shake us up and put us in this place. And we're in this in-between spot, somewhere between where we were and where we're going to end up, because somehow we always return to God's blessing. We always return to normal. We return to a place where he is communing with us. But when you're in between, that's an ugly, dark time. It's a hurtful time. It's painful. And you wonder, God, what are you doing? And that's what these psalms of lament are about. These psalms of crying and crying out. These psalms of anger and pain. It's talking about this experience of life that we all have where we cry out. And what do? Do we pound our fist on the wall? Do we pound our fist on the dashboard or the steering wheel? Or do we lash out at somebody? Or do we cry out to God, the living God? How we respond in those times is so important. It's okay to lament. This is the message right here. It's okay to lament. It's okay to mourn. And there's a godly way to do that. It's okay to lament, and it's okay to mourn. And there's a godly way to do that. You got to write that one down. I think in our culture, we've kind of lost a skill. There's a skill that we used to have, and we've lost it. And that is mourning together, commiserating together, weeping together. We don't know how to do that. Nowadays, we call a celebration, we call a funeral, we call it a celebration of life. And then we go home and fall to pieces. Wouldn't it be better to fall to pieces amongst those who love you most? That's why they're there. Maybe there's a better way to do this. Maybe there's a better way to handle this struggle that we all face. Let's look at Psalm 42. I'm going to be reading here. These pages don't blow away. Notice that? As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? My tears have been my food day and night. That's sad. while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with the sound of a shout of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival, kind of like we have this morning. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Wait for God, for I shall yet praise him for the salvation of his presence. O my soul, my soul, why are you disturbed within me? Wait for God, for I shall yet praise him, the salvation of his presence. O my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan, from the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and waves have rolled over me. By day, Yahweh will command his loving kindness, and by night his song will be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Have you ever felt that? God, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Wait for God, for I shall yet praise him, the salvation of my presence and my God. It's an incredible psalm. And it's one of those that you can kind of read over quickly and just be like, there's a lot of anger there. There's a lot of emotion there. There's a lot of hope there. There's a lot there. And just move on to the next one. But if you sit there and you look at it and you start thinking about it, there's a lot going on here. Like, first of all, who's the psalmist talking to? If you got your Bible open, look at it. Who's he talking to? Part of the time he's talking to God. Part of the time he's talking to you, the person reading the psalm. And part of the time he's talking to his soul. There's a lot going on here. This person is in trouble. This person's in anger and agony. You ever get that when you're just upset and you just like yell at this one and yell at that one and you kick the cat and, you know? This is what the psalmist is doing. He's crying out to everybody and anybody. He's calling out to God. He's calling out to you through the centuries. He's calling out to his soul and he's saying, we got to fix this. You ever get that desperate? As a deer pants for the streams of water, you ever get that desperate in your life? So let's look at what the psalmist does here. He does some really interesting things. So first of all, he knows what he's feeling. He talks about his feelings here. He's a guy and he's talking about his feelings. He says, my tears have been my food. Why are you downcast, O my soul? God, you've forgotten me. There's so many angry words in there. So many hurtful things that he says. He's desperate. He knows what he's feeling and he names it. He names his feelings. He acknowledges it. He says, yeah, I'm angry. Yeah, I'm sad. Yeah, I feel like God forgot me. Yes, I feel these things. Have you ever been brave enough to do that? You know, we always think about God and church and discipleship, and we think, I just got to raise my hands and praise God anyhow, and it'll be good sooner or later. Well, sometimes it's not like that. Am I right? Sometimes it's not like that. The psalmist recognizes God's work. He says, these things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me. I used to go along with the crowd and lead them in the procession to the house of God, kind of like today, with the sound of a shout of joy and thanksgiving, with the crowd keeping festival. He remembers what it was like when it was good. He remembers God, what God was like in those good times. He recognizes God's work. And then throughout the psalm, if you look at it, he turns his focus to God. He doesn't focus on, they did me wrong. He doesn't focus on, that guy said that and that was wrong. I can't believe she did that to me. He doesn't focus on those things. He turns his soul back to God, turns his eyes back to God, turns his spirit back to God over and over again. It's been said that original sin is simply our eyes turning back in on ourselves and turning back in on ourselves over and over again. And as your eyes turn back in on yourself, you become selfish, you become bitter, you become angry, and all those things develop. But as you turn your eyes up towards God, a lot of things change, don't they? And so he's saying, oh, my soul, hope in God, for I will yet praise him. I'm not praising him right now. I'm angry, but I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. I'm not praising him right now, but I'm going to. I used to, and I'm going to. But right now, this is terrible. That's what this psalm is saying. And when you get in that dark moment, you're not the first one. You're not the only one. You're not the last one. You can turn to these psalms and be fed and taught and learned. So the psalmist knows what he's feeling. He names it. He acknowledges it. He recognizes it. Said, yes, I'm angry. Yes, I hate this. He recognizes God's work. And then he chooses to focus on God. He chooses to focus on what God is doing. He chooses to direct his focus to God. And then what does he do? He says, why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Wait for God, for I will still praise him. He yells at his own soul. In his mind, he's made up his mind to honor God anyways. In his mind, he's made up his mind to praise God anyways. In his mind, he's remembered the works of the Lord in the past. In his mind, he remembered that the Lord will be faithful and do it again. And in the meantime, his soul is still crushed. Can you relate to this? In the meantime, his soul is still crushed and he doesn't know what to think. But his mind yells at his soul and says, don't forget the works of the Lord. I will yet praise him. Why are you in despair, O my soul? I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Why are you so disturbed within me? So he recognizes where he's at. He names it. He recognizes what God's done in the past and he praises him for it. Recognizes that his soul is pulling a different way than his mind. And he yells at his soul, get back in track. God is in control here, right? He doesn't get in that self-focused little twist that begins all the sin in our hearts. He undoes that circle and says, no, no, we're not going to do that again. Put your focus on God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. That's powerful. That is powerful. It's a powerful shift from our standard method that we have of obsessing and moping and complaining and worrying and find other people that will listen to you complain and worry and mope. No, we're not to complain and mope. There's a time to deal with what you're hurting and feeling. But there's a time to shift your focus back to God. So many people, they don't know how to handle these feelings. And they think, well, I got to put a good face on things, so I'll just do this in private. I got to put a good face on things, so I'll deal with this in private. And then when they're in private, they hate who they are. They hate what they're feeling. They hate what they look like and what they're showing. They hate the duplicity. And so they self-medicate. They torture themselves, or they drink, or they smoke, or they do something to try to get rid of the feeling. That's not the abundant life that God has called us to. That's not the eternal life, the classic life for all times that God has called us to. He's promised us so much more. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. God is our refuge. Amen? God is our refuge and our strength. So why do we focus on the problem? If God is our refuge and God is our strength, why focus on the problem? Let's focus on God and what he's doing. He's moving us from where we were to a new place. And it hurts to let go of what used to be. Mourning is a horrible thing. There's a way that life used to be, and then it's gone. There's a way that things used to be, and then it's over. Maybe somebody moves to another country. Maybe someone passes away. Maybe a job that you valued is taken from you. Who knows what it is? But something at the core of your day-to-day life is shifted. And you think, what do I do now? You're stuck in that in-between time. What does God say? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are there with me. There's a couple keys in there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You're not supposed to build your house there. With yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. A valley has a start and a finish. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even when you're in that deep, dark time, God is with you. He is for you. Amen? It's such a powerful thought. Let's think about this. When you're in that valley, it's easy to think a detour. Oh, this is hard. This is hard. Instead of walking through the valley on the path that God called us to and coming out the other side, we try to go up the side of the valley. This is so hard. Well, yeah, you're not supposed to go up the side of the valley. You're supposed to keep going through it. And sometimes it's hard to face that, and we don't know what to do with that. God is our refuge, and God is our strength. There's a peculiar verse or two in here, verse 6 and 7. And it says, "Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and the peaks of Mount Hermon and from Mount Mizar." And I always wondered, why is that in there? What on earth does that mean? But when you look at this, the only other time he mentions a location, he's talking about the sanctuary of God, and they're praising and worshiping God. And he's talking about this, the center of God's people and the center of God's presence. The other location he's talking about is the land of the River Jordan and Mount Hermon and Mount Mizar. And so I kind of looked into that. And that's the highest point in Israel, is Mount Hermon. It's the most beautiful, most glorious place in all of Israel, is Mount Hermon. But it's desolate. It's alone. It's a wilderness place. No one lives there. No one lives near there. And then there's Mount Mizar, which is this little, it's barely a mountain. It's more like a hill. And in fact, this is the only time it's mentioned in the Bible, Mount Mizar, because it's not even really noteworthy. It's like Hamilton Mountain. It's just kind of there. So from the most glorious mountain to the lowest mountain, this wilderness place, he finds himself in the middle of this wilderness. And the River Jordan flows out of this. So what's happening there? Everything's going downhill. It's literally what he's saying. Everything is going downhill here. Everything goes downhill in this area. You ever feel like that? You're at that part in your life? Everything's going downhill. The Jordan River's going downhill. Mount Hermon's going downhill. Mount Mizar, for what it's worth, it's going downhill. And everything's running down. He's saying, even in this place, I will remember you. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. Have you ever been at the lake or in the ocean and you're swimming with your family and people are, you know, this close and whatever? All of a sudden a wave picks you up and just tumbles you. You ever have that experience? Even though your friends are this close, you're 100 miles away. That's the most isolated, lonely spot you can be, tumbling in a wave. There's no way out. You can't fight. You can't win. You can't reach out for a hand to help. You're just lost in that wave. This is how the psalmist is expressing how he feels right here. He's tumbling in this wave. Deep calls to deep. The roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have crashed over me. In the very next verse, by day, God will command his loving kindness. Even in the midst of that tumble and trouble, he says, God will command his loving kindness. And by night, his song will be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. And here's my final thought. God does his deepest work in us when we're in that in-between time. When everything is good, and everything's flying and everything's fine and life is normal and all the things you count on are happening, God is there. He's working and he's working on you. But when all that comes crashing down and you're in the land where everything's running downhill and the waves and the breakers are crashing over you, all the things you counted on, they're not there anymore. All the things you reached out for comfort and strength and help, it's not there. You're tumbling. You're lost. It's in those times that God does his deepest work in us. Because when we're tumbling and when we're falling and when we're rolling through the waters, it says deep calls unto deep. Deep calls unto deep. In that moment when you cry out to God, oh God, help me, he's right there with you. You are not alone. Tumbling in the waterfalls, tumbling in the waves, you are not alone. He is right there with you. He is for you. His hand is there. So don't rush through those in-between times, those moments where this is gone and the new hasn't come, the new normal hasn't been established, when you're in that in between, that's when God's doing his deepest work. So don't rush through that. Don't rush through that. You're going through the valley. You're going through the valley. You don't want to camp there, but you don't want to rush through there either. God is with you. He is with you. He is with you. When we're broken and we don't know what to count on, God moves in with his loving kindness, his peace, his patience, his joy, and he heals us. Isn't that beautiful? He heals us. His loving kindness. All the adjectives for God in the Old Testament all rotate around that one word, loving kindness. It's not just kindness. It's not just loving. It's loving kindness. It's like layer on layer. It's like heaping extra loving kindness. If you do a word study, you'll find over and over, loving kindness of God comes up in the Old Testament over and over and over. It's the loving kindness of God that leads men to repentance. That's what pulls us out. That's what calls to our souls, the loving kindness of God. Oh my God, my soul is in despair within me. I say to God, my rock, verse 9, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries reproach me. And they say to me all day long, where is your God? And here's where he takes control and starts telling his soul, why are you in despair, O my soul? And why disturbed within me? Wait for God, for I shall still praise him, the salvation and my God. Every psalm is this deep. If you take your time and read. In fact, this psalm, there's so much going on that Psalm 42 actually has a to be continued. If you're reading, I'd love you to read through this again later today and think about this psalm. And then when you get to the end of it and you're done thinking about it, read on to Psalm 43. Because it's like the psalmist was like, actually, I didn't get it all out yet. And then he goes back and goes for more. Psalm 43 is a continuation of this. It actually builds on this and repeats some of the same themes over and over. Because this is life. Life is struggle. Life is full of blessing and it's full of hurt. Life is full of glory and it's full of pain. But I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Dear Lord, we thank you for your holy word. Dear God, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for the time that we have to be here and to delve deep into this scripture and to understand your love for us, your kindness you pour out to us, the loving kindness of God that sweeps over us if we open our hearts. God, I just pray for each person here today. I pray that your Holy Spirit will work this word and this psalm deep into their hearts, Lord, that in the next time of trouble, or if they're in that time right now, they will gain courage knowing that they're not alone, but that God, you've provided a pattern. You've provided a way, and you've provided a way of escape. That God, you are for us. You are with us. And we bless you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.